sky.
Den Song kennt er eigentlich von Rihanna. Beziehungsweise halt auch von Joseph Salvat, Diamonds. Ihr hört irgendjemanden schon hier bei mir im Hintergrund schnaufen. Das ist Joseph Salvat, also derjenige, der hier mit Piano diesen Song singt. Joseph, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
This song here, Diamonds, kind of popped up in a commercial at some point.
Yeah.
And I've always been wondering, how do people get their music into commercials?
Some people just say,
they just approached me and then I gave them their song. It doesn't work like that, does
it? Yeah, it does work like that. I mean, this one, I had done this cover because somebody had told me like, oh, what about Diamonds? And I was looking for a cover.
All right.
And so I did this. But then I discovered actually the reason why they wanted me to do Diamonds is because they were specifically looking for Diamonds for this ad. And then that's how it happened. So yeah.
Okay. Ja. Ich habe mich immer schon gefragt, wie Leute ihre Musik in eine Werbung reinkriegen, weil die sagen dann immer bloß, ach, da hat mich jemand gefragt und sowas, und so passiert das ja wahrscheinlich nicht. Und Joseph sagt aber doch, war so. War sogar so eine Auftragsarbeit mehr oder weniger für den Werbespot. Den hatten sie schon und brauchten irgendjemanden, der dann eben, ja, Diamonds covered. Okay, let's get back to the songs that you actually wrote.
You'd
love to talk about that probably. Your music has something, I would say, confessional to it. Is this impression correct?
I mean... Perhaps when
isn't
I was
songwriting always,
but to a certain extent, I think so. I mean, there are some people that are incredibly abstract and conceptual with their lyrics or whatever, and maybe not so. But I think in a certain way, yes, it is. It's about like it's getting something out. I never really thought about it that way because the way the songs were written was just in the background of my life. Like I wasn't sitting down writing an album thinking I want to get something out.
All right.
It was just like Hustler, for example, was written 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And I wasn't thinking about it on an album. I wasn't thinking about an audience. I was just writing. So I guess so. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's why I write. It's to sort of process stuff that I can't talk about or don't really want to talk about or whatever. So, but I can do it in songs.
Okay, ich habe gefragt, ob er, also seine Songs kommen manchmal so ein bisschen wie eine Beichte rüber, ob das dann wirklich stimmen würde. Er meinte, nee, er schreibt die Musik eher beiläufig, also hat er auch kein Album im Kopf und nichts, gar nichts. Also kann schon sein, aber vielleicht auch nicht. What would be the, what would you call it, the inciting incident for you to write a song? What makes you write a song?
Oh my God, it's everything.
It's everything.
It's literally everything. It can be
I
like,
have really good questions. Now, what's your inspiration, Joseph?
What is your inspiration? What's the one inspiration?
How do you like Berlin? No, don't answer that.
Okay, I won't. no, it's literally everything. It can be a passage in a book that expresses something that you've been thinking about for years, but you've never been able to express it that way. And you're like, that's brilliant. Mm-hmm. And then that makes everything else very clear. Or it can be the really obvious, like something personal that happens in your life, a relationship. And you know, there are a bunch of songs on the album that are about one particular relationship and my feelings about it. They're not like specific love songs per se, but they're songs about how, like trying to get out of the relationship or how, you know, this kind of stuff. Or it can be a friend's story, or it can be some crazy person you meet on the street who like, makes you see the world in a completely different way for 2 minutes.
Ja.
It can be anything.
Joseph hat tatsächlich meine sehr, sehr gute Frage nach seiner Inspiration beantwortet und hat auch wieder gemeint, so, es kann alles Mögliche sein. Also da gibt's nichts Besonderes, wo dann irgendwie, wo es Knack macht und dann schreibt dann Song drüber. Do you sometimes nick a phrase from a book that you like?
Yeah.
And you're like, I hope nobody notices it.
I think I've done that a couple of times.
Like from what?
Well, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you, because I hope nobody notices.
All right, good. Well, manchmal klaut er auch einen Satz aus dem Buch, sagt mir aber nicht welches. Das ist ein sehr gutes Interview schon jetzt. Is it hard to relive these moments that you talk about in your songs, whether it's in a story that you heard from a friend or it's something that you...
No.
That's something...
Do they become
something different when you play them every night?
They do become something different. They're still like transporting for me when I'm on stage. They still make me feel something, but... because they were written over such a big period of time and in such different spaces, I'm not the same person. I mean, it's all on the same continuum of who I am, but I don't have the same, you know, pain fades, joy fades, like everything fades with time and it's replaced with something else. So
but doesn't it make it hard to sing then some of the songs? Like, let's say you wrote one song out of heartbreak and then you have to sing it every night because everybody loves that song.
No, because it's still an emotion that's in my repertoire of emotions. Do you know what I mean? So I know what that feels like. So even if I'm not like experiencing it when I'm singing the song, I still remember it.
And you can reactivate it.
And hopefully I've put into the music something that triggers it off for me so that there is a thing there, you know?
Okay.
But I mean, also a lot of it's about the audience. You know, so if an audience is feeling something in that moment, it doesn't, I'm just like, it doesn't really matter. I've discovered, as actually the less...
You become detached from the songs a little bit.
Very, very much so. And I'm just more of a vehicle for the emotion as opposed to the person feeling it. It's for everybody else in the room to feel. And it's for me to communicate. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
So you just become like a vessel as opposed to the actual generator of the emotion. And the emotions take place in them.
Could you call it like professional schizophrenia a little bit?
I mean, kind of. I guess so. Yeah, that is definitely one way of putting it. Yes.
I read in some interviews that you said you write from different perspectives. It's almost like you're a different character sometimes when you write a song. Is that a finite number or is it an infinite number of characters? Or could you say like, oh, that's sad Joseph, happy Joseph, and no. I don't care Joseph?
I think it's definitely an infinite number because there are certain characters that I used to be able to access and write from that sort of part of me that I can't anymore.
And
now they're a new one. So it's constantly evolving as I go through life, you know.
Joseph sagt, er schreibt aus vielen verschiedenen Perspektiven seine Songs, also manchmal auch wirklich so, als wenn er eine andere Figur, eine andere Person wäre. Das ist aber keine endliche Zahl, also dass es nur den glücklichen, den traurigen und den doofen Joseph oder sowas gibt, sondern das hört überhaupt nicht auf, da kann alles Mögliche noch kommen. We're gonna play one of the songs from your album, it's called Open Season. Tell us something about that one.
I wrote it when I signed my record deal in London, and I'd been in London for like a year at that point. And before London, I was in Spain. So I'd been out of Australia for like 2.5 years and with one sole goal, which was to get to a point where I was like making a living out of my music.
So in that picture, you're a hunter? You're the hunter?
So yes, exactly. I'm both the hunter and the hunted because all of a sudden, like I was 24, 25 and moving from that phase where you kind of conceive of yourself as still like a youth or a child and to the point where you start to have to become an adult and you're fair game for everybody else.
Okay.
You know? And I'd realized that I completely ignored all my relationships, like my friends, my family, everybody. So, and I was signing this deal alone in my lawyer's office, like with, I don't know, like no, not even the secretary knew why I was there. She was just like, oh, okay, here's a pen or whatever. And it was the most depressing experience.
Why?
Because it wasn't, you know, you imagine it's going to be like champagne and friends. No, I was alone.
It was you in a conference room.
Exactly. And then I went home and all my friends and family were in Australia. And I hadn't really made any solid friendships in London because London's a hard city and you have to like, you're just working all the time in order to survive.
And then you wrote that song.
And so then after that, I was like, I got this all wrong. Like, this is really, I mean, particularly for what I want to do, like I was feeling also very creatively empty.
Yeah.
It's like, this is completely not the right way of dealing with life. Life is about other people. That's what we have as human beings, is the capacity to have an emotional connection with each other. And quite a sophisticated one that you know, other species, well, at least that we know of, don't necessarily have.
Yeah.
And actually that's not true. I see animals like having deep emotional connections all the time. But anyway, so I wrote Open Season. It's about
think
that.
Before you speak, Joseph.
I gotta do that. No, I don't. So it was about,
let's listen
about
to the song.
Yeah, listen to the song.
Joseph hat gesagt, irgendwie den Song hat er geschrieben, als er gerade seinen Plattenvertrag unterschrieben hat. Und es war so da hat er fast eine Depression gekriegt, weil er saß ganz alleine im Konferenzraum von seinem Anwalt und da war überhaupt keiner, der dann mit ihm feiert. Da ist er nach Hause gegangen, weil er kannte irgendwie noch keinen in London und hat diesen Song geschrieben. So, könnt ihr ja mal hören, ob er das in diesem Song hört. Open Season, Joseph Salvat. Also von dieser angesprochenen Depression... Beim Vertrag unterschreiben ist hier nicht viel zu hören. Joseph, I cannot hear your depression from signing that contract.
That was the thing. I needed to write something that was like reaffirming.
Ah, okay. So to get you back up. Okay, das war so quasi die Motivation nach der Depression. Joseph Salvat, der heute Abend im Lido spielt, von uns präsentiert, ist hier mit im Studio in der Morning Show am Nachmittag. You're from Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you teach us some Australian slang that nobody knows about outside of Australia?
No one knows about us. I mean, like,
or a pronunciation.
We have neighbors. So
TV series.
The TV series, and I think that's been really educational for the rest of the world about, like you dag. You know that, like you dag.
No,
like you're like somebody who's a bit lame or something. Like is
you
a dag.
You dag.
Yeah, don't be such a dag. and like I say, I didn't realize this was a weird thing, but I say tour, right?
Tour.
Like I'm going on tour.
Ah, okay.
And the Brit and my bank, because they're all English, they're all like tour going on tour. Apparently, the rest of the world says tour. Oh, I can't even say it. Tour. I'm going on tour.
I cannot really talk about the Australians, but I found it always hilarious. Always when you take a bus tour in New Zealand, that the it's not a car park, it's a car park.
It's a in New Zealand?
Yeah.
That's different.
But that's different. I know.
Car park.
Yeah, car park.
I can't do New Zealand.
It's like, wow, what the hell is that? Why do Australians keep moving to London? Warum ziehen Australier immer nach London?
I think I'm not sure if so many do anymore, but mm-hmm. I think that just because historically we had quite, you know,
sure,
we had a really close relationship with the UK. It was we still have their queen on our banknotes and stuff like that. So
it's like the first choice.
Yeah, and you know, it was this thing, like Australians go there, they work for 2 years on like a visa or whatever, and then they go back and they get back to their really beautiful, comfortable life by the beach in Australia.
Is there a huge expat ghetto there?
Yeah, there is. I mean, I think it was bigger previously.
Yeah,
I don't think it's as big anymore, but and it kind of moves around, and there's different parts of it as well. There's like, you know, I'm in music and doing that sort of stuff. So it's different. It's like a more creative one. But then there's a lot of people that go over there and work in, like, I don't know, lawyers and finance and all that kind of stuff. And they're in a different part of town kind of thing. So there are a lot of Australians.
Yeah.
But we travel just generally. There are a lot here actually in Berlin.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true too.
Yeah.
Mein Eindruck oder unser Eindruck war ja, die Australier ziehen immer als erstes gleich nach London. Da muss es ja eine riesige Expat-Community irgendwie so geben. Und Joseph meint so, ja, gibt's auch, aber die bleiben meistens bloß 2 Jahre, weil dann ist das Visum zu Ende. Und es war wohl früher mal größer, ist gar nicht mehr so schlimm. Und außerdem Berlin hat auch ganz viele Australier. Now that you're on tour, do you have any new favorite places? I mean, you travel a lot, but still you must travel to new places too. Is there somewhere where you thought like, wow, I had no idea they had a...
I'm thinking.
Burger like that?
Do you know what I had yesterday, actually, here in Berlin?
What?
Was this, it was a gemüse kebab down there in Meringdam.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the
really
one
greasy?
I'm talking about?
Yes, the one with the line.
With the queue.
Everybody else sells the same thing.
No, this was incredible.
All right, whatever.
I'm sorry. It was incredible.
Joseph hat sich in die Schlange am Meringdam gestellt, um diesen den fettigen Döner zu essen, den Gemüsedöner. Ich habe gemeint, der schmeckt überall gleich. Er meint, nein, das ist der beste. Yeah, and what?
Well, it has to be incredible because I waited in the bloody queue for half an hour.
That makes it taste better. That's true.
I think it genuinely did. No, I mean, there are places that I get really good vibes from. And then what I like Berlin is one, Paris is another one. I really like Paris. I really like Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm.
But what I like is going back to them and finding more about the city.
Yeah.
Do you know? Manchester's great. Every time we get out of the bus in Manchester, I always have this. It's just got a nice vibe in the streets, you know? It feels sort of free in the streets. But Berlin, and I'm not just saying it's because I'm speaking to you, but it really does feel free. And every time I come back here, and I'm here quite a lot because my best friend moved here from London like 3 years ago. So I'm here to visit her quite a bit. And it just, I like discovering more of places that I already know.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Ihr habt ein bisschen ja gehört, so ein paar Reisetipps gab es jetzt gerade von Joseph, also ein paar von denen sind in Großbritannien, aber Paris ist auch toll. You lived in Barcelona too, ne?
In Barcelona
hat er auch schon gelebt. Oh, yeah. Da hat er einen ganz komischen Gesichtsausdruck dazu. Didn't you like it?
But Barcelona is cool, it's just really fractured city. Like, like my name is, like it's Catalan, it's from that part of the world. My dad is first generation Australian, so I went with high expectations and it's just, you've got lots of tourists, you've got expats and then you've got the Catalans and... It's fractured.
Okay, also es ist ziemlich zersplittert in die einzelnen Teile. Tonight you play at Lido, presented by us.
Yeah.
Do you have any experience with the German crowds yet? They are told to be, we don't have the best reputation. People say, oh, at least there's the Parisian audience. That's even worse.
This is what people say about capital cities. Like, London's too cool. Paris is like, they're such snobs. And Germany...
If somebody really enjoys a song here, he goes like,
no, I did not find that. Okay, first of all, it differs in the cities around Germany.
All right.
So like a Berlin crowd is totally different from a Munich crowd, for example, or a Cologne crowd. I've done 2 gigs here in Berlin. One was with a festival and then the other one was at the Canteen am Berghain on my last tour.
Yes.
And both those crowds were like, they showed up.
Uh-huh.
They were there. They were up for it. Like there was no standoffish. There was no too cool for school. There was just genuine enjoyment.
Oh God, I'm happy to hear that.
And they were great shows.
Yeah.
gigging Cologne last year was like a little bit more staid, but that's because I think most of the audience came for Diamonds, really.
Okay.
And they were older and you know, and they got what they wanted, but they're not necessarily party animals.
Okay. So. Do you play it as the first or the last song or somewhere in between?
Absolutely neither of those.
Really?
Right. Just or in the middle.
Nah, it's just in the middle. If you came for that, here it is. Okay. Heute Abend spielt Joseph, also hat erstmal irgendwie das bei seinen, er war zweimal irgendwie schon hier und hat hier gespielt und beides Mal war auf jeden Fall das Publikum ganz, ganz toll. Heute Abend im Lido ist das hoffentlich dann auch so. Da spielt er dann präsentiert von uns und er muss jetzt auch eigentlich direkt zum Soundtrack dann rüber und dann da alles klar machen. Wir hören noch einen Song, den er schon mal hier bei Flux FM gespielt hat. We're gonna listen to one song that you played here at Flux FM. Hustler.
Yeah.
In a awesome. Acoustic version, as I imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Joseph, have a lot of fun tonight
at
Lido and come back as soon as you can.
Oh, I will. I will. All right. Awesome.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.